I invite your attention to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. 2 weeks ago, when I was here with you on a Lord's Day morning, we looked in Joshua chapter 2 at an introduction to Rahab the harlot and to the promise of her salvation. Today we're going to begin reading in Joshua chapter 5, verse number 13, and then go through the end of the next chapter, and we're going to look at the subject of Rahab's faith. Rahab's faith. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' So he said, 'No, but as commander of the army of Jehovah, I have now come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' Then the commander of Jehovah's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord Jehovah said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho under your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Then it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of Jehovah." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of Jehovah." So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests, bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before Jehovah, advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, 'Shout!' Then you shall shout." So he had the Ark of Jehovah circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, And the priest took up the ark of Jehovah. Then seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns, went before the ark of Jehovah. And it went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of Jehovah, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time it was so, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for Jehovah has given you the city." Now the city shall be doomed by Jehovah to destruction, and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to Jehovah. They shall come into the treasury of Jehovah. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her." And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of Jehovah. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before Jehovah who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn," or that is, at the cost of his firstborn, "and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." By the way, if you're interested, it is fulfilled to the letter in 1 Kings 16, verse 34. So Jehovah was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we are blessed this day to be in this house with your household, with your children. We are blessed to have been given the desire to be here and the wherewithal to be here. We pray that the hymns we have sung have been acceptable to you. We pray that our praise and thanksgiving will be received by you. We pray that even at this moment that you would bend your ear from heaven and hear our prayer. We pray that you be pleased to bless the preaching of the gospel of your Son to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The year is about 1400 B.C., almost 3,500 years ago. The children of Israel had come out of Egypt, out of bondage and slavery, about 40 years earlier, 1440 B.C. They had come to the promised land. They had gone into Egypt to free people. When Joseph died, a Pharaoh arose who knew not Joseph and put the Lord's people into bondage. This had been prophesied by our Lord to Abraham, our father. He said, I'm going to bring them out of their bondage, bring them to the promised land when the iniquity of the Amorites is full. The Amorites and the Canaanites are just about synonymous terms for the people that lived in Canaan. The land belonged to Abraham and his descendants, and the Canaanites and the Amorites were occupying it. And so the Lord was going to drive them out and give the land to his people. He had brought them out of Egypt, then miraculously through the Red Sea, drowned their enemies therein, brought them to Sinai, entered into covenant with them, then brought them up to the very border of the land. Joshua and Caleb, young men then, had said, we can take it. And the people said, no, we are afraid. So the Lord sent them back into the wilderness, and they wandered therein for 38 years. And then finally, he brought them again to the border of the land. They are at a place called Acacia Grove. Our King James Version calls the place Shittim. It is named for the Shittah tree. We call that tree the acacia tree. It's about the only tree that grows in the wilderness. Quite remarkably, it is the same tree with which the Ark of the Covenant was made. That Ark of the Covenant made from this acacia tree and then overlaid with gold. There is a grove of these acacia trees on the east bank of the Jordan River, and that's where the children of Israel are. Moses has died, 120 years old, had lived his time, served his purpose, and now it is up to Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. The Jordan River is 6 miles to the east, or to the west. 6 miles beyond the Jordan is Jericho. Jericho is the first city to be taken in the conquest of the land. 2 Lord's days ago, we observed that Joshua sent 2 spies into Jericho. They found lodging in the house of Rahab the harlot. She told them that she knew who they were and why they were there. And she asked for salvation. And the spies told her, we'll give it to you. We promise it to you. There's this cord, a scarlet cord, and you're letting us down from your window with it. Now take this cord and tie it to your window. And when we come back and we see it, we will know that you are believing in our God and in the promise of his servants, and you'll be saved. So they have returned to the camp at Acacia Grove, and now it is time to cross the Jordan. In Joshua chapter 5, we read that Joshua had gone out by himself. We would assume he had gone out to commune with his God, and his God came down to commune with his servant. For Joshua looked, and there before him is a man in battle gear, and his sword is drawn. Joshua, assumedly with his hand on his own sword, which probably is still in its scabbard, says, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And the man says, "I am the commander of Jehovah's hosts." That man is the God man, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Joshua is commander of the army of Israel, and Jesus Christ is commander of Joshua and all the rest of Jehovah's hosts. And there they had that conversation. We read it in the beginning of chapter 6, where the commander-in-chief of all Jehovah's hosts told Joshua, commander of Israel's army, how they're going to take the city. And so they begin to do what would need to be done in order to do so. So they marched to the Jordan River. Jordan River, it's not a very big river, but it was this day. It was at high flood stage, overflowing its banks. No boats, no ferries, no way across. So the people said, "How do we get across?" And Joshua said, "You're going to walk." Joshua, it's overflowing the banks. We're all going to drown. No, nobody drowns. Walk through the Jordan. So they took him at his word. His word was Jehovah's. The priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant came to the very border of the river. It's overflowing its banks. And when they stepped into the water was not there, because the Lord caused it to go back as he had done at the Red Sea. Israel, the whole host, marched across the Jordan River on dry ground, just as they had done 40 years earlier at the Red Sea. They went across the river. They came to a place called Gilgal, about 2 miles to the north of Jericho. They there pitched camp. And while they're there pitching camp, this was actually where the Lord had met with Joshua. And then they began to make their plans for the taking of Jericho. All the Israelite soldiers marched to Jericho. We know how many there were, because it's recorded in the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers means the book of the census. A census had been taken. 600,000 soldiers. These are men who are 30 years of age or older. 600,000 of them. Assuming that most of these men are married, assuming that most of them have at least a couple children, folks, we're talking about a people numbering probably over 2 or 3 million people. And they do the march. They go to Jericho. Joshua is at the head of the column. Well, actually, the commander-in-chief is at the head of the column. Joshua's following him, but you cannot see him. He has not made himself manifest, but Joshua's following him. We would assume that The two spies were very close to Joshua because they were to point out the token of Rahab's faith, and they knew the window from which they had descended to escape the city. And behind them, 600,000 soldiers armed for battle. Behind them, probably abreast, were seven priests, and each of them has a ram's horn. We know it as a shofar. It's also called in the Hebrew text a horn of jubilee. Behind them, perhaps four priests, and they have the poles on their shoulders that hold the Ark of the Covenant. Behind them, all the rest of the people, all the Israelites are there, going to the battle with Joshua and the spies and the armed soldiers and the priests and even the little children. They come to Jericho. On the road from Gilgal to Jericho, they undoubtedly approach the city at the front gate. They do not go to the gate. Before they reach it, Joshua turns 90 degrees and begins to walk around the city, and all the rest of the people and the army follow him. They are in silence. You hear nothing but the shuffling of feet and the blasts coming from the shofars by the seven priests. Every soldier of Jericho is on the wall watching, waiting for the battle. Undoubtedly, windows of houses which comprise the wall and are high are open, and the people are watching, waiting for the attack, which never comes, by the way, because Joshua and the whole Israelite people march once around the city, and all that is heard is the shuffling of feet and the marching of the soldiers and the blasts from the horns being blown by the priests. As they march around that city, the two spies are looking for something in particular, a scarlet cord. They had told Rahab the harlot, if you desire salvation when we come, take this scarlet cord that you have used to let us down from your window. Bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household into your house. As we observed earlier, they were very specific. This token had to be a card, not a ribbon or any other item. Had to be scarlet, not any other color. Why scarlet? Because the spy said so. But there probably is a significance to this. Scarlet was the color of her sins. Though your sins be as scarlet. Scarlet is blood red. More than that, that word scarlet probably means double dyed. Red is a dye that fades away, so it was usually done twice. Though your sins be double dyed, though your sins be red as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. How? By the scarlet blood of Jesus Christ. There's a scarlet cord. The spies are looking for it. And as they march around the city in silence, we would imagine one of them looked and said, there it is. You know what that means? Means Rahab is still believing. She believes in God. She believes in the promise of salvation. There it is. Joshua, there it is. She believes. Rahab and her family probably have the window open. It was a very high window. And they watched that army. It marches around the city. Joshua comes back to the gate, having gone around the city once. He does a 90-degree turn away from the gate and marches back to Gilgal, and everyone goes with him. Now, imagine what is going through the minds of the soldiers of Jericho on the wall. Well, that was easy. Not quite what we expected. Imagine what was going through the mind of Rahab when she sees the army marching back to Gilgal. What was going through her mind? That was not what I expected. I expected the city to be destroyed, and I expected myself to be saved. It didn't happen. Not on that day. So next morning, children of Israel arise again early in the morning, march 2 miles from Gilgal to Jericho, do the same thing all over again. Joshua marches up to the gate, turns 90 degrees, and the whole people of Israel march around the city. Nothing is heard but the shuffling of feet and the blowings of the ram's horns by the 7 priests. And again, the spies are looking. Is it still there? Yes, the scarlet cord is still there. She still believes. They march around the city, go back to Gilgal. And again, the soldiers on the wall are probably saying, well, that was easy. That was not what we expected. And Rahab is saying again, that was not what I expected. That happens for the 3rd day, the 4th day, and the 5th day, and the 6th day. 6 days. 6 days. The same procedure is done, and nothing has happened except people have marched around the city. Now comes the 7th day. On the 7th day, they march back up. You can imagine the soldiers of Jericho on the wall saying, well, you know, this is just a little bit boring now. Is this what they call an army? Is this what they call a siege? Is this what they call a battle? So Joshua approaches the wall, comes to the gate, turns 90 degrees, marches around the city and the whole people of Israel with him. And the cord is still there. She still believes. Then they march around the city the 2nd time. And the 3rd time. And the 4th time. And the 5th time. And the 6th time. And the suspense is building. Now consider how many times they have gone around the city. For 6 days, 1 time each day. On the seventh day, 6 times. Six plus 6 is 12, and 12 in Scripture is a number of completion. Rahab's faith is being tried. It has now been completely tried 12 times. After the 6th time around the city on the 7th day, they come back to where the gate is, and Joshua says, shout! And the horns are blowing, and the people are shouting, and the walls fell just as God had said they would. The walls of Jericho fell. Now bear in mind that the walls of the city were actually the exterior wall of people's houses. Every house was built beside each other, adjoining, and one wall of every house was the wall of the city, and it fell flat. When it does, every house is exposed. The way into the city is made clear and plain. And every house has now fallen except for the house of Rahab the harlot. It's easy to know where she lives. Her house is the only one standing. Her wall is the only one that is still intact. And they go in to get her, and they do. The soldiers go in to get Rahab, her father, her mother, her siblings, and they bring them out and put them outside the camp of Israel, and the city is destroyed. And Rahab is saved exactly and precisely as God had said it would happen. Now that's my introduction. My message has 7 points, and they will be brief because I've already given them to you. But I want to remind you 7 things about Rahab's faith and 7 things that must be true of your own faith. First, children of God, learn this lesson. Rahab's faith was active faith. It was not a dead faith. It moved her to do the works that justified her. Faith without works is dead, James tells us. And every time the spies walked around the city and saw that scarlet cord hanging from her window, they knew she still believed. It's active faith. Don't let people tell you they believe in God if their lives do not prove it. Faith must be active. Saving faith makes a difference in you. When a man or woman believes in Jesus Christ, that faith becomes active and does as the Lord says. Rahab had it, and if you will be saved, you must have the very same faith as well. The token of her faith was that scarlet cord hanging from her window. The faith was in her heart. God can see that. You cannot. We cannot see another man's faith, but we know the faith of others by the lives they live. When a man says or a woman says, "I believe in Jesus Christ," and the life does not bear the fruit, the faith is dead. Let none of us have a dead faith in Jesus Christ. Let our faith be that which moves us to live for him, to serve him, and to trust him. Rahab's faith was of such sort. And it was a daily faith. Second, it was a daily faith. It was there for day one, day two, day three, four, five, six, and seven. Every day of the week. Her faith was there. Well, child of God, your faith must be not a one-time act. People, they may say, "I remember when I believed in Jesus." Yeah, but do you believe in him now? Do you believe in him now? When that storm begins to come, as our preacher this morning told us, do you believe in him then? Her faith was a daily faith. Saving faith, such as Rahab had, is a faith that never ceases. It is there 7 days a week and as often in the day as it needs to be. It was a tried, it was a daily faith. Third, it was a tried faith. It was put to the test repeatedly. I mean, just imagine. Day one, Israel marched around the city. Nothing happened. And someone in the household says, Rahab, was it worth it? I mean, nothing happened. That's okay. We'll just keep on believing. Happened the second day. We'll just keep on believing. Rahab's faith was a tried faith. It was put to the test repeatedly. And she had it there on every day. It was a persevering faith. It never ceased. Not only are we preserved by Jesus Christ, but we persevere for Jesus Christ. Our faith is one that never ceases, it perseveres. When the sun is shining and everything is bright, we believe in God. When the clouds turn dark and the winds begin to blow, we believe in God. This is a persevering faith that never ceased. Fifth, Rahab's faith was rewarded faith. She eventually believed it, or received the promise and received her salvation. It is a rewarded faith. I'm going to say to you that if you will trust in Jesus Christ, He will not disappoint you. He will not. No one who ever trusted in Jesus Christ failed to be saved. The promise that God's preachers give is this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And that's the only way you can be saved. You must believe in Jesus Christ. Put your trust in that scarlet blood and show it with your scarlet faith. This is a rewarded faith. I assure you that if you forsake everything else and trust in Jesus Christ, He will save you. Rahab forsook trust in everything else except Jesus Christ, and the Lord saved her. Because number six, Rahab's faith was saving faith. Did you notice what was read in the text? Every person in Jericho died, was killed by the edge of the sword. The king, and even the animals in the stalls. Every living soul of every sort in Jericho was killed, except Rahab and her family, because this is saving faith. It is a tried faith. It is you'll go through a trial of faith, but I assure you, if you trust in Jesus Christ, He will save you. And then number seven and last, Rahab's faith was exemplary faith. Exemplary faith. In the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, we are told, by faith Rahab was saved. You want to know what is remarkable about that? She was a harlot. She was a woman of fornication and adultery. She was a woman engaged in licentious sin. She was a despicable sinner. But she believed in God. And He saved her. This is good news for sinners like you and me. If our Lord saves harlots, He can save us. He can save us. I have great confidence and full assurance that if you will trust in Jesus Christ as Rahab did, He will save you. And note that faith one more time. Active faith, daily faith, tried faith, persevering faith, rewarded faith, saving faith, and exemplary faith. So trust in Jesus Christ, like Rahab did, and he'll save you.